mountains, deserts and streams. The rise of Dos Cabezas and the outlaws I see in my dreams.
This is Kathy Damaris, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona, reading letters from the April 2025 issue of Arizona Highways. Arizona Highways magazine is celebrating its 100th anniversary. Editor's note: we get a lot of letters from all over the world, and opening them is a sacred ritual for me, especially those that are handwritten. It's humbling to think that the work we do can inspire someone to sit down with a pen and a piece of paper, express their thoughts, seal them up, and send them our way. Our readers have been doing that for decades, and their commentary offers an important assessment of how we're doing. This month, as we look back on a century of publishing, we thought you might enjoy seeing some of the impressive letters that came our way in the early years. June 1939, Boulder Dam and Lake Mead. In your April issue, we were particularly interested in the article, Sailing on Lake Mead. It seems that a little piece on the Boulder Dam recreational area featuring Lake Mead's booming attraction for sailors has a place in one of your summer issues. We must add that your magazine is one of the most unique publications we have seen in a long time. After reading several copies of it, one cannot help but become decidedly Arizona-minded. There can be no doubt about its effectiveness in publicizing your state's scenic and cultural attractions. Letter was submitted by David V. Cleary, The Buick Magazine, Detroit, Michigan. July 1939, Bucky O'Neill. I received the package of Arizona Highways for May containing the article about my late husband, Bucky O'Neill. It was so thoughtful of you to remember me, and I wish to thank you for your kindness. Your books are beautiful and so interesting, especially to us old-timers. How far and how wonderful Arizona has gone since I first lived there. Here is a wish that the state may continue to prosper. Letter was submitted by Pauline M. O'Neill of Hollywood, California. December 1939. Gentlemen of the Fourth Estate. I have noticed several copies of your excellent little magazine around our office here, and I would like to have a regular copy for myself. Enroll me as a subscriber for a year and send along your bill. Hope you can start me off with the October issue. Have seen the September copy. Submitted by Jerome Parker, The New York Times, New York, New York, March 1940. His Royal Highness is pleased. His Royal Highness, the Crown Prince of Norway, has ordered me to thank you most sincerely for your kindness in sending him Arizona Highways magazine, which His Royal Highness has been very interested to read. I am further desired to thank you for your kind greetings and to convey to you His Royal Highness's best wishes for a happy new year. Submitted by N.R. Asgard, Adjutant to His Royal Highness, the Crown Prince of Norway, Oslo, Norway. September 1940. Reception in Hollywood. Emily Berry tells me that it is to you that I am indebted for the beautiful Indian number of your magazine, which reached me a day or two ago. I can't tell you how impressed I am with it, nor how much I appreciate your sending me a copy. Although we are fortunate enough to own the Curtis set on the North American Indian, we are constantly in need of more material. Submitted by Helen Gladys Percy, Head of Research Department, Paramount Pictures, Inc., Hollywood, California. October 1940, when Mr. Cobb writes an article. I just want to congratulate you on that peach of an article by Irvin S. Cobb in the July issue about Rainbow Bridge National Monument. The story is both human and inspiring, and the most delightful presentation of the subject it has ever been my privilege to read. Pictures, too, are excellent, though we have learned always to expect that of Arizona Highways. We were always proud of Rainbow Bridge National Monument. Now that we have seen your July issue, we are practically bursting with pride. Letter was submitted by Hugh M. Miller, Superintendent, National Park Service, Coolidge, Arizona. January 1941, the December issue. I just want to add my congratulations to the hundreds of others I know you will receive for your beautiful Christmas number. I think you have set a new high, not only for the Southwest, but for the entire United States. It is a beautiful book reflecting credit to you and your staff and the printers. Submitted by Randall Henderson, editor, The Desert Magazine, El Central, California. March 1941, An Odyssey of the Green in Colorado. I have received the 25 copies of the January issue of Arizona Highways with mailing folders. It is very kind of you to send these, and I thank you very much. They will be used to a good advantage, and those receiving them from me will be the type of persons most likely to follow through into Arizona. It amazes me how large a coverage or circulation you have. I have received letters from all over the United States commenting on the excellent story and pictures on the river trip. You have a mighty fine magazine and really worthwhile. Submitted by Norman D. Nevels, Mexican Hat Lodge, Bluff, Utah. June 1941. We'll try to keep it up. I just want to add my humble words of thanks and praise for your splendid Arizona Highways magazine. Each month for nearly a year, it has been a most welcome visitor. You brew a strong and overpowering medicine. Just one sip from the first issue, and a new reader becomes permanently intoxicated by the beauty, the charm, and the glamour of Arizona. Your standard is so high that it's a mystery how you can keep it up month after month. I fully realize how much work it means. You can rest assured, though, that the Friends Arizona Highways wins and holds more than compensate for all the effort expended in its preparation. Letter was submitted by James P. McCloskey, editor, enthusiast, Harley-Davidson Motor Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. July 1941, Ammunition for Monument Valley. The May issue of Arizona Highways with the Monument Valley story is proving to be a dead shot. Everyone so far I have sent a copy to has written back for reservations and has chosen the Arizona route in. It is certainly a choice piece of ammunition to fire at a prospect. Numerous parties arriving say the May issue of the magazine led them out here. Thanks to a real combination, our friends, Joyce Munch, for her rounding up the right bunch of words and putting them together so as to pack the real feeling you enjoy when you visit this magnificent valley. Joseph Munch and Jack Breed for drawing a bead on and hitting some mighty choice bull's eyes that are hidden about Monument Valley for those who like to shoot a camera. Submitted by Harry Goulding, Monument Valley, Utah. October 1941, Note from GM. Our efforts to present Arizona to many of the executives of General Motors Corporation as an unexcelled location for a proving ground for continuous 12-month automobile testing have been immeasurably helped by your splendid magazine. Through the medium of its splendid articles and illustrations, these men have a more thorough knowledge of the state and its advantages of fine highways, unexcelled climate, and excellent facilities of transportation and accommodations than could have been obtained in any other way. It has also been the means of bringing many of these men and their families to Arizona to enjoy its advantages as a vacation wonderland. We congratulate the executive of the State Highway Commission, and you and your staff for making this very excellent magazine available. In no way could the natural and man-made wonders of Arizona be more effectively publicized. Letter submitted by H.H. Barnes, Manager, General Motors Sales Corporation, Phoenix, Arizona. December 1941, The Park Service. We in the National Park Service appreciate the space you devote time and again in your magazine in bringing the areas under our administration to the attention of the public. Arizona's many and diversified attractions could not hope for better interpretation than through Arizona Highways. Submitted by Newton B. Drury, Director, National Park Service, Washington, D.C. November 1946, The Works of Ansel Adams. As a former member of the Board of Directors of the Sierra Club of California, I have been extremely interested for many years in the work of Ansel Adams, who has recently contributed to your journal. It seemed to me that Mr. Adams has done such a remarkably fine piece of work in his photography of the desert country that I got into the habit of opening the magazine first to the middle in hopes of seeing another picture by Ansel Adams. I am writing this letter because of the fact that I missed this photograph in the last edition and in hopes that I may lend my voice to the many you must have heard requesting that you continue, if possible, to publish work by Ansel Adams, since I think he has made a very real contribution to the Color Photography of the Arizona Country, submitted by Dr. Harold E. Crow, Los Angeles, California, January 1949. Greetings, namesake. Just after I sent you a note congratulating you on the Christmas number, Mrs. Isabel Begay, your Navajo Madonna on the cover of the Christmas issue, gave birth to a bouncing boy at Sage Memorial Hospital. His name, Raymond Carlson Begay, submitted by Dr. Clarence Salisbury, Ganado Mission, Ganado, Arizona, January 1949, Dam, Boulder, or Hoover. As one who has been a subscriber to your magazine for many years, I wish to make a strenuous objection to your labeling the cover on your November issue as Boulder, Hoover Dam. The dam is named Hoover Dam by our Congress, and the name Boulder does not belong to it, and the sooner it is forgotten, the better. I believe in calling things by their right names, submitted by Mrs. George Stephen, La Jolla, California. Boulder or Hoover? That is a question. Congress has decreed the name should be Hoover, but the Arizona State Legislature has not changed the name from Boulder. Changing place names in Arizona is a violation of the law, and until our legislature sees fit to change the name, your humble editor must string along. For the time being, we'll use both names. We predict the next Congress will change the name again. It seems the Democrats, or something like that, will be back in the saddle again. July 1949. Slides. Is it possible to purchase Kodachrome slide pictures of cactus flowers, birds, trees, scenery, or other attractive things found in Arizona, similar to the pictures which appear in your magazine? I took some on a recent trip to your state, but wish now that I had taken many more, and would appreciate knowing if there might be any for sale, which could be used on a projector for 828 film, submitted by Mrs. Walter C. Flower of Maplewood, New Jersey. November 1949, Swiss Alps. Imagine your magazine comes all the way to the Swiss Alps, and you should see the family almost fighting over it. Who's going to read it first? The articles about your ranches, the Heffords, the Brahmins, are read with the greatest interest, and even if conditions here on our small farm are absolutely different, there is always something we can learn. Thank you for a wonderful and colorful magazine. Submitted by Marie Louise Lusher, Zurich, Switzerland. May 1950, Letter from Africa. I thank you from my heart for the gift of Arizona highways. It has charm for us to see a country so different from ours, which is only flowers and forests. I never tire of examining again its illustrations so admirably made and wondering about this country that I shall never see in reality, but only in imagination. Submitted by Dr. Albert Schweitzer, French Equatorial Africa. June 1951, Saga of Uncle Jim. J.T. Uncle Jim Owens was an animal hunter in the Yellowstone Park when the ravages of cougars required his services on the Kaibab, or Buckskin Plateau. En route, he stopped at Ogden, Utah, where I was dispersing clerk for the Forest Service, and for years we were good friends. He had several good hunting dogs, among them Old Pot, wisest of them all, and the favorite of Uncle Jim. He gained his name from his slightly drooping stomach, induced by overeating in his later years, but he bore the reputation of the most sagacious of all lion-hunting dogs, and he did not waste time on the trail of anything but a lion, for his keen scent immediately told him the difference, and he also knew which direction the lion had been traveling. Care was taken to kill a tree lion at first shot, lest, attacked by the valuable dogs, the dogs might be hurt in a fight. Theodore Roosevelt did well in choosing, for his lion hunting, both the Kaibab and Uncle Jim as guide, and a great interest was taken in his visit. He enjoyed a short dinner nap, and to afford him both shade and privacy, a small tent was pitched, but Old Pot, accustomed to being pampered, took possession and objected to being dislodged. "Leave him alone," said the ex-president, who loved a good dog. "There's room for us both." And during the rest of the hunt, Teddy Roosevelt and Old Pot, who enjoyed the distinction, shared the cool shade in the tent. Submitted by Quincy R. Kraft, Albuquerque, New Mexico. In your March number, you publish a letter from Mr. Nicholas Roosevelt about T.R.'s visit to Kaibab Forest and about the buffalo there. With one exception, I believe it to be a correct statement of the facts of the case. Some of these facts I know of my own knowledge and the rest from long association with Owens and his cougar hunting helpers. The exception is the statement that Zane Grey's book, The Last of the Plainsmen, is not fiction. It is largely fiction as to its so-called facts and is wholly fiction in its conclusions about the importance of the performances of Buffalo Jones. The latter was considered a windbag in the Kaibab. Gray dressed him up for revenue only. I can tell you a lot about Jones. Submitted by Thomas H. McKee, Alhambra, California. September 1951, Pies in Kitchen. Last spring we enlarged our kitchen and made it into a kitchen and dining room. We think that you might be interested in the use that we have made of the beautiful single and double colored pictures from the magazine, so we are enclosing two snapshots to show you. The pictures are placed in the soffits which hide the roller shades and are simply fastened to glass with scotch tape and are spaced by strips of black formica. The grooves which hold the glass are so made that the glass may be raised enough to be taken out so that we can make changes as more beautiful pictures arrive. Submitted by Mr. and Mrs. T.C. Lloyd-Jones of Modesto, California. February 1952, Batman. In your most excellent coverage of Sedona and the Oak Creek Country appearing in your November issue, the Peplos have made an error in referring to me as the creator of the comic strip feature Batman. An error, that is, if the interpretation of creator is taken to signify that I originated the strip. Bob Kane did that, and all credit for the invention of Batman and Robin belongs to him. His signature still appears on all Batman releases. However, for the past 12 years, I have produced the major portion of the strip's artwork and am still doing so for the strip's publishers, National Comics Publications, Inc. of New York. Only in respect to its present-day production could I be called the strip's creator. Submitted by Dick Sprague of Sedona, Arizona. April 1959. Reception in England. I have received, with the compliments of Victor C. Reuther, a copy of your magazine, Arizona Highways, and I think I must write you this note of admiration of your splendid publication. Here at the Institute of Directors, we tend to fancy our knowledge of publishing and printing, but there is nothing produced in this country to compare with your publication. Do you think we might be allowed to become regular subscribers? If so, your magazine would be displayed here in the public rooms of the Institute of Directors and would be seen by at least 150 top-level British executives who come in here every day. Submitted by Sir Richard Powell, Director General, Institute of Directors, London, England. August 1959, Sedona Art Center. The articles in your May issue were wonderfully written and the entire magazine was as beautiful as could be. The only sour note was that someone inadvertently miswrote the author's name for the article, A Bell for Sedona. The name should have been Ray Glade or R.J. Glade, but the magazine has it printed as R.J. Slade. I wish that you would print the correction so that my friend Ray could get public recognition. This has already been done over radio station KCLS and Flagstaff by transcription. You have a most beautiful magazine, but errors are possible. Submitted by Ellsworth Schnebley of Sedona, Arizona. November 1965, Ross Santee. I was shocked and saddened to read of the death of Ross Santee. I have long been an admirer of his work, although I was not aware that he was a writer as well as an artist. All I have ever seen were his sketches, which spoke so much of the people and the country. Submitted by Mrs. M. Jean Strong of Santa Cruz, California. November 1966, Letter from the Chief. I have been traveling a good deal lately and am just now catching up on some back reading. One of the most impressive things I have picked up is your April 1966 coverage of the Mogollon Rim. Because we have not commented recently on the many beautiful photographs of forest scenery, I hope you do not think that we may be taking your wonderful magazine too much for granted. In any case, this issue has stimulated me to send my heartiest congratulations for a most impressive and accurate feature article. I know I speak for many Forest Service people in saying that we appreciate and enjoy the excellent articles and superb photography that have long distinguished Arizona highways. Although most of your fan mail may relate to your use of photography, I want you to know that the factual, informative substance of the magazine is also much appreciated and a pleasure to read. Best wishes for continued success. Submitted by Edward P. Cliff, Chief, U.S. Forest Service, Washington, D.C. The next article is the editor's letter from the May 2025 issue of Arizona Highways by Robert Steve. Like Steve Jobs unveiling the first iPhone on a stage in San Francisco, Raymond Carlson, dressed in a black tie instead of a black mock turtleneck, used his platform in this magazine to usher in our first big endeavor beyond the monthly dose of ink and paper. It was May 1954. The idea, however, started taking shape a few years earlier. Is it possible to purchase Kodachrome slide pictures of cactus flowers, birds, trees, scenery, and other attractive things in Arizona, similar to the pictures that appeared in your magazine? Mrs. Walter C. Flower of Maplewood, New Jersey, asked in 1949. She was among the many readers who wanted a colorful slideshow to complement the Chesterfields, canapes, and vodka martinis they were serving at cocktail parties. This summer, Mr. Carlson wrote in response, "We hope to have slides for projection purposes made from all photographs appearing each month in the magazine. They'll be made from our original transparencies, and we feel they will be very attractive." Rimbaud's entire career as a poet lasted for 4 years. It took us 5 years to finally launch what came to be known as Color Classics from Arizona Highways. We are pleased to announce that 35mm color slides in 2-inch by 2-inch mounts made from original color photographs published in Arizona Highways are now available. This announcement will please the many hundreds of our readers who have requested that such slides be issued. Our first 100 color classics cover some of the most popular subjects published herein. Additional subjects will be announced in our June issue. Our price schedule is as follows: 1 to 15 slides, 40 cents each, 16 to 49 slides, 35 cents each, in orders of 50 slides or more, 3 for a dollar. It took a while to lift off, but the response was immediate. I am very pleased to see your announcements of color classics in the May issue, Alfred Cannell of Milwaukee wrote the next month. I hope to eventually have every slide you produce. Mrs. T.T. Stevenson of Knoxville, Tennessee was excited too. My first order has just arrived, and I must say that your slides are truly classics, some of the best I've seen. Within a year, our color slides had been distributed to 24 countries around the world, including one place they weren't supposed to be. Shortly after you announced Color Classics, Herman Stromberg, another Milwaukeean, wrote, "I purchased 100 slides of various scenic subjects that have appeared in your pages and sent them to a friend of mine who was a schoolteacher behind the Iron Curtain in Germany. I doubted that they would get through, but took a chance. I've been informed that they did get through and have caused not only pleasure, but excitement to children who must surely be surfeited with a steady diet of Russian visual propaganda. The new program was a hit because our editor could easily recruit photographers." In a letter to Ansel Adams, he wrote, "As soon as we determined the popularity of the slide series, we further proposed to advertise in photographic magazines to not only enhance our slide business, but to further publicize Arizona Highways. We have carefully gone over all of our material and have picked out the specific subjects of yours we would like to use, if you are willing to go ahead with us in this series." Turns out the master photographer was on board, and he emphasized his endorsement with 7 exclamation points. "Delighted to go along with you on your slide program. Wonderful idea." Esther Henderson, Joseph Munch, Wayne Davis, Ray Manley, Tad Nichols, Alan C. Reed, all the regulars went along with it too. At a glance, it's hard to understand why. The royalty for each slide was only 2 cents, which even in 1954 didn't get you much. A postage stamp was 3 cents, a loaf of bread was 17 cents, and a gallon of gas was 22 cents. 2 cents! Adjusted for inflation, that's only 23 cents today. I can't think of anything I can buy for 23 cents. But it wasn't about the money, it was about the charisma of our editor and his ability to inspire devotion from those around him. Nevertheless, like the French looking back on the Louisiana Purchase or the Red Sox wondering why they traded Babe Ruth to the Yankees, there was cognitive dissonance. Our photographers were conflicted, Willis Peterson, another regular, told me. A few of them complained. That's the last time I'm ever contributing to highways, as if there were other possibilities. Consternation became resignation. I had the privilege of spending a lot of time with Mr. Peterson toward the end of his long life. I've never met a more gentle human being. Like Mr. Rogers, he spoke in a tone that could calm a wild pony, but that didn't keep him from confronting our editor and offering his own two cents. I sent a letter, he told me, citing the need for more compensation. I listed all the photo expenses, such as the cost of the newer ektachrome film. It was a long list. During the night, I woke up panicked, thinking I'd been too hasty. The next day, I felt glum. 2 days later, Mr. Carlson called me into his office. I arrived, penitent as anyone might feel who had just defied God. We shook hands cordially. I was shaking, on the verge of tears. But there wasn't a stern lecture. Instead, God led his disciple into our gallery and started discussing the overhead costs that come with circulating a magazine in the stratosphere. His discourse was a lesson in the economics of publishing, Mr. Peterson remembered. Then, in a well-modulated voice, he looked me in the eye. Yes, Willis, we have tried to make this venture economically feasible for photographers. Though the amounts will be exceedingly small, hopefully the magazine's photographers may find their pockets somewhat heavier by the end of the year. We hope you, be one of our newer and younger contributors, will abide by the needs of our magazine. Of course, the young photographer did. Defying God wasn't an option. That concludes today's readings from Arizona Highways. This is Kathy Damaris, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona.
I love you, Arizona. Your mountains, deserts and streams, rise of those cabezas and the outlaws I see in my dreams. I love you, Arizona.
If you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Log on to sunsounds.org, left-click on Broadcast Info and Audio, then under Programming Links, left-click on Demand Podcasts. In addition, you can now listen to Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or other smart home device.